Is there,
I got a report.
Oh, yeah, you gotta do your thing, go ahead.
We have a proposed.
You have to uplift him a little bit, Rick, you have to uplift him.
We have a proposed ordinance to amend chapter 115, article 4, section 115-25, to provide criteria for determining whether a preliminary cluster subdivision plan provides for a total environment and design which are superior to that which would be allowed under the regulations for the standard subdivision option. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 2008.
That's all right, this is fine.
The ordinance was summarized, the ordinance was discussed. Carol Basin was present on behalf of the Center for the Inland Bays, presented the commission with a marked up copy of the ordinance application and submitted written statements. The commission found, based on the marked up ordinance provided by Ms. Basin, that the center suggests several amendments to the ordinance. Gary Couples, president of Environmental Consultants International, was also present and gave supportive testimony and suggestions. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the ordinance amendment. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of ordinance amendment to amend chapter 115, section 115-25, based upon the record and support to the following recommendations, and subject to the following recommendations, One, that the Sussex County Council consider the information provided to the commission during its public hearing. Two, that the word setback in 115-25F3A4 on page 3 of the proposed ordinance amendment be changed to the word buffer. Three, that on line 9 of 115-25F3A4 on page 3, the word council should be changed to the word commission.
Right.
Four, in 115-25F3A2 regarding yield plans, should state that the yield plan must be designed based on the same sewer infrastructure as a proposed cluster subdivision so that lot sizes are comparable. To accomplish them, 2A should state, in quotes, the yield plan shall be completed to scale based upon the same sewer infrastructure as a proposed cluster subdivision and shall show potential lot streets and stormwater management facilities. And five, in 115-25F3A3B on page 2, the final sentence should be replaced with, and in quotations, accordingly, at least 40% of all required open space shall be located on one centralized location within the project.
Yeah.
There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved for the reasons and with the recommendation stated. And that motion carried 4-0. Attached to my report from the commission, and just after the minutes of the council for July 22nd, is the cover letter provided by Ms. Basin on behalf of the Center for the Inland Bays. The marked up ordinance, which in this copy shows some gray additions rather than red because I didn't have a color copier. There were five pages. There's a three-page letter and comments from Engineering Consultants International, which is also referred to as ECI. And there are three pages of comments received, just received recently from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. That's three pages signed by Leanne Walling. They are a part of the report. And for the benefit of council, I passed down a copy just received by the council office, dated yesterday, from Valerie Cordier, over over there, a resident. A copy for each of you. And a copy received by fax about, 12:53 today from DC Group in reference to this application for an ordinance amendment. And they are now part of the record. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
Nope. Go ahead with Rick.
I think Mr. Baker was checking. I think he had one or two other things he wanted to add.
Beg your pardon, Dave?
Dave.
Okay. That's cool.
You want to go ahead while he's gone?
Yeah, you can turn it.
Who's interested in speaking? One at a time.
We just got a few here.
I'm Carol Basin, and I am from Milton, Delaware, and I'm representing the Center for the Inland Bays. And once again, I have copies with red ink, except they're not very good. Now, I'd like to ask, I had originally created a copy where we marked up, and I put line numbers on it, on the my marked up copy.
That's a real good thing.
Would you like to have that copy to review with me as I just walk through these?
I think that would be.
Because on my cover letter, I actually reference those line numbers. However.
We're a little slow up here, Tom.
Your comments are superimposed into the comments that I had to do.
They are. They're exactly. Or I can do some comments from the minutes, and we walk through it either way.
Basically, in my report, Carol, we included all your comments based on not your line item, line numbers, but on the ordinance as it's written.
Okay. So.
It'd be the same.
I think that would be the best way to is to use your minutes, the line, and I'll just walk through them. What I have to say tonight is similar to the planning and zoning. It's the same letter and the same markup. First, I want to say that we support the proposed superior design ordinance for the following reasons. Number one, it meets the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan comments for community design and superior design. Number two, it helps us accomplish our goals that are set forth in the county co-signed comprehensive conservation management plan with the center and the state and the county and the townships in the area, including our goal to prevent additional habitat loss and nutrient over-enrichment in the inland bays by developing sound land use plans, passing supportive regulations and zoning ordinances, and to encourage land use practices that are environmentally sound. And third, we feel it strengthens the current cluster development option in the county zoning code, Chapter 11525, by encouraging a development site plan that first identifies and aggregates open space to maximize environmental benefits while equalizing the housing density to a standard plan by compacting housing lots, which would provide us more, I think, the developer and more economically feasible and beneficial infrastructure configuration. In other words, the cluster ordinance by itself provides a better design for preserving the open space and also is less expensive to actually develop because infrastructure costs are less. But the current cluster development option didn't work so well because that open space was often rebuilt upon and the number of houses went higher. So this yield plan in here is very strong, and we support that. However, of concern to us are the inconsistencies within and between different regulations, this ordinance, our zoning code, the pollution control strategy, and regarding wetland and other buffer or setback lists. Now, I think you mentioned several comments, Mr. Lank, on the page 4 of the ordinance. That it's page 3, number 4, where the wording uses setback and buffer. And I think one of the recommendations in adopting this, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendations, was to change the word to buffer in there. So with that, we could probably support the ordinance. It just is very confusing the way it's written right now. Let me catch you up to where I am.
Page 3, number 4.
A minimum of 25 feet permanent setback must be maintained. And then it goes on to talk about the tidal wetlands,
right.
A 50-foot buffer, which is the current ordinance requirements. So is it a setback or is it a buffer? And we need that clarified.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I got that in my notes also
okay.
When I read it.
And then we also would like to make some changes that perform the following things, and then I thought we'd just walk through it real quick. Number one is to further the use of green technology and native non-invasive vegetation in the Superior Design Solutions, and I cite some line numbers there. We would like to add homeowners associations to the entities that are required to maintain the dedicated open space in the cluster developments, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then three, to clarify the language regarding critical areas, and those are just small changes. I think it'll only take a minute or two to walk through. So that's my cover letter. So now I'd like to just briefly walk through the ordinance and the markup. Do you want me to hand out those with red?
Yes, I'll take
markup.
Red. I'd appreciate red.
Okay. And
might say coordinated.
The cover letter.
I won't guarantee it, but we'll give it a best shot.
Okay.
Easier to see.
Do I have enough?
Should be all together. Huh? 2-page cover letter and then about a 4-page redlined ordinance.
Got that. Okay.
And I didn't hand out the line numbered one, so we use the.
Okay, now I just pass this down, right?
Pass this down.
Here, go. Let's see if you want to get one. There you go.
You should have stepped with way too much difficulty up there. Way too much difficulty.
You should see me back there. Sorting it and deciding whether to use the line number or the other one. Just take a package and that'll be it.
I got it.
And then I just went through the cover letter. So I'll use Mr. Link's references from the minutes, and we'll walk through the ordinance. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Page 2.
Okay.
You're talking about the ordinance, right?
I am.
Ordinance with red highlights.
Gotcha.
And you've got red letters.
Yep.
Tell them red or black. Don't hurt them too bad.
It's homes shall be clustered, this is number one, on the most environmentally suitable portions of the tract, specifically those portions of the tract least encumbered by sensitive environmental features. And I would like the council to add including groundwater recharge areas to the end of that, which are natural drainage areas, but specifically we would like to see the groundwater recharge areas included as the areas to be protected.
I got a question, and I know you're giving a presentation, but the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it, and is it a 100-year floodplain? 500? We have tax ditches that have floodplains around it. Some of these areas, I have kind of mixed emotions about floodplain. I didn't know, have you guys discussed, the floodplain part? Because there's a whole lot of difference. Could we make an elevate and everything like that with floodplain and,
I think the 100-year floodplain is what I've seen excluded from
Whatever FEMA throws a dart at for that week.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, the floodplain this week is, or this every 10 years.
I think that probably our science and technical advisor could answer the questions better than
okay.
I can, but
right.
I do know that in some of the ordinances that I'm familiar with, the 100
that is
year
what's typical, yes.
Is most typical.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Sort of.
Okay.
Good politician answer. Go ahead, Carol.
Been one for a long time. Okay, number two on that same page, in submitting a yield plan, item B, we would like to see and protective buffer areas also depicted on the yield plan. I don't think that really changes a lot, but somehow they were left out. That same page, three, required open space shall comply with the following criteria. Item B, the sentence reads, it shall not, this is speaking of open space being required to be to the benefit of the residents of the cluster development. It shall not be constituted of fragmented lands with little development or open space value. I don't know what development in that sentence is referring to, so I just said we should probably delete that. I think it should not be, it shall not be constituted of fragmented lands with little open space value.
Title
makes more sense.
Yeah, the title references just open space. We're not really talking about the development part
right,
of it. It's just
right.
We're referencing open
and
space.
And we're talking about open space
right.
here.
Okay.
That's just a
makes
minor
sense.
Thing.
Makes some sense, yeah.
And in that same section, required open space shall comply with the following criteria. We would like to add to C, if one of the following physical conditions exists adjacent to the proposed cluster development tract, at least 40% of all required open space must be adjacent to, and then it lists planned public parks, easements, et cetera, farmland, and an undeveloped lot. We'd like to add and change and add number two, existing wetlands, waterways, wildlife corridors, or other ecologically sensitive land. It makes sense to put your open space near, and considering the open space ordinance, not yet approved, but buffers are a part of that open space. Do you have a question?
No.
Oh, good, okay. And then three, we have existing farmland. We think you should also include meadowlands and woodlands in that, as well as farmlands. Item D, if open space is proposed to be dedicated to a municipality, a county, state, or federal agency, an agreement shall be provided in advance stipulating that such entity agrees in advance to accept the dedication and maintain that land for public recreation and or as a nature preserve. We would like to add homeowners associations to that for new development. Most new developments, depending on the type, have homeowners associations. They are legal entities and should be bound to preserving.
Most time they're broke, they don't want us to do the job for them.
Mm-hmm.
I said most time they're broke and they want us to do the job for them. They want to, you know, I mean, that's just some of the downfalls of the homeowners association. On
I
some,
know, I
you
know.
More so on the west side of the county than the east side.
So some right. are good and some aren't. And
right.
Can I ask you a question, Carol?
Certainly.
C says if one of the following conditions exists, at least 40% of the required open space should be adjacent to.
Mm-hmm.
And you go over here to three existing farmlands, meadowlands, and or woodlands. I mean, why is it important to have the open space next to the woodlands?
Well, it's...
What am I missing?
It's mostly to have, the woodlands might be the open space, but it might be woodlands from another community.
Or an adjacent
I think
parcel.
We were talking about this before. This ordinance actually supports some of the things we talked about in the open space definition.
Or phase two of the open space,
right?
Right.
But it also, for cluster developments, provides some of those things that we were looking towards. In other words, you wouldn't want to put your open space, your conservation open space, in the middle of your development versus a woodland that might exist around the outskirts, such as a buffer that's on another property.
I think about that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I sunk in.
You think it's redundant? I'm being redundant there.
No, I just
they're all similar. Farmland, meadowlands, and woodlands are all kind of similar right. type of parcels. You know, they make sense to me.
They do?
Yeah, sure does. I understand what you're telling.
Okay.
I can't help it if you don't get it.
I didn't. I just asked if you got
it. A couple weeks, it won't matter.
Okay. You're right, George, but you still got 2 more weeks, baby. Mm-hmm.
No, one more week. Thank you, Dan.
Actually, you got until January the 6th at 9:30, which you really want to know.
You might say 1 more week, we won't care.
Right. We won't be hearing from you.
We won't be able to legally, then we won't be able
all right, we're into her time now, guys. Quiet.
That's all right.
Well, you're the one started.
No, I just... You questioned me. I just said I agree.
Because he's going to miss us.
I understand what she's saying. I can understand why you don't. Go ahead.
Okay,
now.
So we talked about D.
Grab that one.
E... this section defines what open space in a cluster development should look like, and we would like to add trail construction material shall be pervious in nature. Number four, we talked about just a minute ago about the changing of the terms in there as far as whether it's a setback from a lot line or a buffer that's being discussed there. And I really haven't worked it out in my mind exactly, but I believe that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended.
Why did you choose 30 versus 25?
To be a little more consistent with the minimums of the pollution control strategy. It doesn't, that's...
That could hurt you.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I'd be careful how I use that word.
We would prefer, you know, I mean, again, we would prefer to have what we originally recommended and okay. would like to. I think that as far as the comprehensive plan goes, it recommends using SIA Center for the Inland Bays recommended buffers, and that's actually in the comprehensive plan. So based on the type of development, the type of area that's around it, and not just a number. Okay. Setting a number is difficult, but
I got you. Okay.
We're
so you're changing our number from 25 to 30.
I have that in there. It's up for that one's up for grabs. You can delete that if you'd like. Yeah.
It's not part
that difference
of
is
not
part significant.
Of pie, but it would be nice, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I won't go there. at the end of that paragraph, if existing vegetation within the setback is removed, it shall be replaced with native non-invasive vegetation. And I think before it said, I think I deleted the word, it said...
it said replaced with vegetation of similar type and density.
But instead, we'd like to see it be native non-invasive.
Okay.
To
you just want a description of it.
Mm-hmm. And then you already, the council, that should be commission.
Correct.
Page four. Stormwater detention and retention facilities, it says should, we should change that to shall be designed, and it says to resemble natural ponds, we should say function as natural ponds, because we really do want to have the stormwater management facilities be actively protecting the environment, not just looking like those ponds. To me, resemble means to look like. So we felt function as was better. And be built using green technology methods for maximum environmental benefit. Again, that overlaps some of the open space, but it's particular to this.
Should we put if possible at the end of that sentence?
Pardon?
Should we put if possible at the end of that sentence?
Certainly.
The difficulty with your words, green technology method, is the ordinance we had discussed, we had earlier on open space, Jim said we don't really have a definition of green technology.
Yeah, start saying, what is it?
So he didn't, and he struck it from the open space ordinance.
And
unless we define it? Would that
unless
make?
We define it, but then it's in addition to the ordinance.
I believe that Mr. Wheatley suggested that we strike be built using green technology and just put be built for maximum environmental benefit. If that would work for you. That way, green technology would not have to be defined.
That was where we had the discussion. We're dealing with 1A, 1B.
So I offer that as an amendment to that.
Or just say have a goal. The goal could be of using green technology, whatever it may end up being in the future. So. But
or if possible, yes.
On the right track.
And that's the end of my statement, except that I want to add one little thing that I didn't add before. We feel so strongly about this ordinance that we would like to see it applied across other residential types besides just cluster development. I know that's not on the table for consideration tonight, but certainly in our future we would like to see this type of particularly the design process specifications. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? When we first considered the cluster ordinance, it was in an effort to create a win-win situation for the developer and the environment. And to a large extent, I think people believe we did make great strides. I mean, before we had cookie-cutter developments where really there was no open space And now we have a voluntary option for developers if they would promise to give us at least, I think it's 30% open space.
30% on the code.
Then they can cluster and go on smaller lot sizes. And what that does is it creates a yield neutral situation. Do you understand understand the concept of yield?
Right, absolutely.
Do you have
a problem? So if you had 100 units and you put it around in a standard development structure, now you would move those 100 units. They might be multifamily. They might be a smaller footprint, say a 7,500, I think it's the number, the square feet lot, instead of, say, a larger size lot. And then the areas around it would be preserved, the 30% for open space.
Right. The concern I've heard about this ordinance is that it has higher standards, higher, greater restrictions, more impediments to reach the yield that would be afforded otherwise. Would you have any objection if this ordinance were to move forward for us to maybe think outside the box a little bit in order to create another win-win situation, in essence protecting the yield of the developer if he were to voluntarily follow these standards? For instance, multifamily housing could provide the yield, and I know our housing experts who testified earlier would agree that, you know, clustering even greater than what our regulations currently allow in a cluster.
In AR1, in the low density.
Anywhere you want the superior design, you could do it voluntarily under the guise that we would work with you to allow you to have a yield neutral development. If you can get 100 acres on a regular cluster, if you use this superior design and it shrinks the amount of buildable land, that would eliminate the possibility of getting that 100 units based on 7,500 square foot lots, we'll go ahead and be flexible in the type of housing that you have on those, on that building.
Which is currently not in the cluster, or it has to be single family.
Which you got
to
be careful of.
Community, excuse me, George. George, I have the floor.
All right. You're just.
Well, are you saying not move forward with this one for the cluster, for this particular cluster?
I think
we would not probably be in favor of that. We would like to see this, however, in the future.
No, I'm saying with the modification that allows for a yield neutral approach.
And the only change would be the type of home that would be in there in the low density. You would allow a multifamily in the low density.
Well, you still have the same density. Your density wouldn't skyrocket.
I understand
skyrocket.
The number of units, but we're talking about a different housing structure.
Well, we're talking about creating regulations that are going to reduce yield, and this council doesn't have the money to compensate the property owners for the taking with cash.
There isn't a taking with this.
They go from 100 units to 50 units because the amount of buildable land when you factor
This ordinance has a yield plan that allows the same density, and in fact, even more density with the density for dollars.
Okay, we'll see.
I believe that it does allow for more density. It allows for the same number. The yield, I mean, it says right here.
Okay.
They get more out of the cluster housing than they do out of a standard subdivision. Everything else, they get.
They either
more
get
out
the
of it.
Same.
They always do, right?
Same. They get the same.
Or more with the density.
Right. We shouldn't be encouraging these kind of ordinances. Typically, are for your development district town centers to encourage development, not in areas of low density. And he's trying to do it countywide to make the whole county a development district. And then if you start putting out all these townhouses, multifamily out in these rural areas, people will scream bloody murder. And then we'll say, oh, we're just following the ordinance. So I don't know what he's up to, but
it's
a scheme. Be careful.
This is what we support now. The yield is the same. It is not less homes, right, and it can be more. And so we support that with these changes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other? I'd be happy to answer.
I think we're very careful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name's Deborah Schultz, and I'm from Lewis, and I want to thank you for the fact that we're all still awake. I can hardly believe it, and maybe we're all still thinking. I just want to let you know that I'm a real strong supporter of cluster development, particularly when that development preserves large percentages of open space, which is what you seem to be encouraging to do with this ordinance, and when it maintains the open space in contiguous acreages or some percentage of that open space for the purposes of preserving habitat and wildlife corridors, protecting watersheds, you know, recharge surfaces, all the things that you're trying to do with this ordinance. But I think there's one way in which the ordinance doesn't quite recognize that goal, and that's because the focus remains on the individual subdivision application when it's considering the siting of open space, and it continues to tie the function of the open space to the needs of the subdivision in which the open space is sited, and that includes all of the open space, you know, both the active and the passive. I mean, you're not making that distinction actually in the language of this superior design ordinance, but you make it in the open space ordinance that you still have to take care of, right? So with that emphasis on just the one subdivision that you're looking at, the one cluster that you're looking at, then the larger bona fide purposes of open space that you talk about in your definition of open space in the previous ordinance can't be assured. And they can't even really be given priority in the selection and siting process as you're currently describing it in your superior design ordinance. But I want to say that I really think that this process that you have for the preliminary plan submission and that's great. The thing that you have in the superior design where you're talking about first you locate, when the developer comes in with his proposal, he first has to locate the natural areas, the significant environmental features, and you have a list of things. And then toward the end, you know, they locate the lot lines. And that's a great procedure. And in this case, I would say that I think Carol's on, I would really underwrite what Carol has said about making that your preliminary plan process for all subdivision application. But in this particular instance, to go back to this open space superior design problem, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan says that open spaces should be required to be linked together as opposed to being smaller fragmented areas, and you're working to do that clearly in this ordinance. And then the comprehensive plan says land areas should not be allowed to be counted towards the required open space unless they serve the residents of a community. Now, all I'm saying is that perhaps if you think about open space as serving all of the residents of the county, that the idea behind open space is something that serves all of us now and in the future, that the functions of passive open space have to do with things that are larger than individual subdivision applications. So, and as you know, a number of us testified last Tuesday, and we really were talking about that sort of thing in relation to the proposed open space ordinance. People testified about the importance of ecotourism and bird trails and the economic and environmental benefits that accrue to the county if you have a countywide greenway or pathway system, or something like that, that expands and protects the natural resources that we have and that we all like here. So clearly the larger percentages of open space that you can require in a cluster development can become big, major building blocks for such a countywide system. You know, if you're going about the individual applications and planning, coordinating the open space that comes in, you could build this system. And to further that, and I would just suggest that you remove the sentence, required open space must be designed to benefit the residents of cluster development. You know, you just remove that one sentence from this superior design ordinance and you can achieve that goal. So thanks very much.
You got a written comment then?
Yes, I do.
Can I ask a question of Lauren Clank before we go to the next
topic? Him.
Thank you.
Lawrence, have you run some numbers on this ordinance? For instance, it talks about the yield plan having to be designed based on a non-cluster development regulations. Right now, a cluster in a level 4 is afforded 1.5 units per acre.
In a cluster.
Right.
Yeah.
In a cluster.
You take your site and deduct 25% and calculate it based on two on the one on that deduction.
Oh, it's 1.5.
1.5.
Okay. Based on this number two, where it talks about the yield plan showing the maximum number of dwelling units possible under the same tract under the current applicable conventional development regulations, you're not going to get the 1.5 when you start taking into the account of the other aspects of this, or am I reading that wrong? Are you going to get 1.5 all the time as you would under a cluster?
I can't guarantee you get 1.5 all the time.
Because why?
Because your yield plan and the
takes into account.
Takes into the condition of the site. Could right. impact the design.
Exactly.
It could be odd shape.
Yeah. Right. And shape of the property, the physical features of the property, the
physical features such as?
You take the wetlands out.
Wetlands out. Correct. So.
So it has to depict all the wetlands, wooded areas, et cetera, when you do your design.
Right. So under the yield plan, you are actually cutting your yield under the current cluster subdivision ordinance.
You could end up with the same number of units you would get
if it was if it was a completely clean site, so to speak. It had no wetlands. But under our current ordinance, regardless of wetlands or what have you, if there is suitable high ground to cluster 1.5 units, you're going to get that.
Good.
You're afforded that by right.
Good, right.
Okay. So I guess the point, and I didn't want to debate it without making that clarification to the previous speaker, but there is a yield reduction in this ordinance. And my point was, taking into account that yield reduction, there needs to be a compensation, whether it's a different type of housing unit to give them that same yield. Constitution says we're to compensate them, so I don't know why we would want to do something other than that.
What are you talking about? Compensation
we're,
on
we're
what?
We're taking yield. It's the taking of the yield.
I'm not talking to you, Mr. Cole.
If you want to speak in a minute.
We have to be a definition of taking.
I got the floor.
No, but you're confusing things. That's not a taking. Right, that's your opinion. It's a taking, and it's
I don't have a hammer. Hit the hammer, Mr. Rodgers.
It's not.
So my point is, we have a yield reduction in this ordinance without consideration, and that's all I'm asking.
Every site will be different.
Every site will be different, exactly.
There's no guarantees in life there, buddy.
Okay. Next, please.
But it's not a get a definition someday of taking, would you, somebody?
Hasn't Jim Griffin given you that?
No, he given it, but they don't accept it. It's a taking, and he's got a taking definition. He's got one.
Jim's got one.
Okay.
Are you done?
Same old game.
Okay. Hi, my name is Sandy Spence, and I have my birding hat on right now. And I'd like to just talk about one small thing. It's paragraph 3A, 8A. It's toward the end, that paragraph 8, that talks about things that have to be, the applicant has to consider or go through a process. And under paragraph A there, they have to identify lands that should be preserved. And so I would like to suggest that in the second sentence, where they have to consider other features that are important for conservation. They have to be mapped, such as tree lines, scenic views, historic buildings, and prime farmland. I would simply like to ask you to insert, in addition to that, nesting areas and migratory pathways, which could be mapped, because that kind of information is available from DENREC and other birding sources.
We're not sure if they have maps. They could be mapped, but do we have maps? Do you know?
Well, they're required to map these other things, so as they have to find these other things.
I don't know where the headwaters are in Sussex County. I don't know if they got them.
Yeah, they keep changing that all the time.
I don't know. I don't know if we have.
Okay, anyway, you can consider it. Okay. And at the end, the last sentence, where it says, the areas with the fewest important natural, scenic, and historic features should be considered the potential development area. It would be helpful to insert conservation after natural because you've already mentioned that you want to do conservation, and I think that would just be a clarification and would not be a significant change. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Sandy. You got it.
Thank you. Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Good evening again, Kevin.
Good evening.
Still speaking for yourself, Kevin?
No, sir.
He shifted gears. Got a different hat on now.
It's hard to tell.
Mr. Cole, that's why I identified it the last time.
You, could you get hats? If we put a different hat on each time, we know what you're
Me talking. Or you? Me or them, I guess.
That's right, that's right.
Mr. Burnett, this one with your markings on it, did you mean to pass that one for yourself?
No, okay. You can pass that along to one of the gentlemen. That's fine. Good evening, I'm Kevin Burnett with McCrone Incorporated, 26177 Deep Branch Road. Coming down before you is a colored copy of the ordinance.
Carol's teaching you something, huh? Yeah, Kevin.
So we had this last week, but some of them came out all black and white when you printed them out. So.
I got you, okay.
And we have already emailed this to Master Baker and Ms. Griffith for their duplication into the minutes.
Well, it's much easier to read, I must agree.
The items that are redlined and struck through are obviously items we want to take out. The ones that are in purple, because we thought that was a passionate color for this evening, are items that we would like to add. Down in section one, and I will tell you in advance, you'll notice the formatting changes, and I would ask the council and Mr. Lank, while I'm thinking about it this time, that when we post these on our webpage for Sussex County, we post them in a Word doc format, if possible, so that we can all prepare this for you without taking a PDF and trying to do a conversion to Word doc so we can make the changes.
That's not our division. Yep. Well, we can certainly, we can. If you get that, Mr. Baker will certainly transfer that to the gurus.
You might be able to make changes to our document online if it was in Word.
It's kind of an anti-tampering.
Well, that's true, but if we're here to present information to you all, it makes sense perhaps to be able to get it. Regardless, under paragraph one, we have asked for the words "the most" to be stricken from that paragraph on page one at the end of the page. And the reason being is that we get back into that who's going to define the most. If we're going to do a superior design, let's do a superior design. Let's let it be an analytical superior design. As we go on down through that, we have the wetlands, mature woodlands, waterways, other water bodies, and we put in the word "and" floodplains and stricken the rest of the sentence, which says areas with poor drainage and natural drainage areas. By the sheer definition, I'm afraid that if you leave in natural drainage areas, all areas within the state and Sussex County are a natural drainage area. Therefore, you're saying that no development is allowed by the sheer wording of how it's written. We've also asked that we add the wording or verbiage, "This does not inhibit the development of wooded parcels." If I happen to have a wooded parcel, basically what you're saying is I can't put a cluster on it because I'm not supposed to cut down any trees. And I'm not so sure that's really the intent of what you're trying to propose in this ordinance. Next line, the applicant must submit a yield plan, and you put that accurately shows. I'm asking to strike those words, accurately shows. Again, we get into a quasi. Are we going to generate two plat plans to bring before Planning and Zoning Commission? And to what accuracy is accurately shows? And let's use the words that's used throughout the industry, and that's a conceptual design to represent what the conceptuals are going to be. The yield plan shall be completed to scale. And again, we've taken accurately show and put in conceptual depicts potential lots, and the rest of that paragraph remains as is. Under item B, the yield plan shall depict all wetlands, wooded areas, waterways, and other water bodies, and floodplain areas, and we've asked for the rest of the sentence to be stricken.
Now, on floodplains, what's your opinion? What do they mean? We had a conversation here, 100-year, 50-year, 500-year. When you see that word floodplains, what do you, and how do you
We look at 100-year floodplain.
100-plain, okay. That's
they're
the standard.
They're required by the code right now to show us all the wetlands and the location of the floodplain.
Right,
floodplain.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
100-year
floodplain, okay. Thank you.
Should we clarify that?
It would not hurt to put 100-year floodplain.
Or is it in the ordinance that does clarify that?
But I'm not
the ordinance under preliminary requires it right now.
Right.
100 years.
With or without this ordinance.
Does it say 100-year floodplain?
No, it just says all floodplain line.
Okay, that was the question. Should we, and possibly we probably should insert it somewhere.
Actually, I believe.
Probably makes sense.
It may make sense to put the 100-year if you're rewriting the ordinance.
I mean, when I read it, I know. I'm not a big opponent of floodplains, but, you know,
If it's in a flood zone X, which doesn't require, it's a 500-year flood, it still has to be noted what floodplain it's in.
Okay.
And typically the parcels are totally in one floodplain, and others it's a mix of one, two or three floodplains. So it has to show the line.
Okay.
It's based on the flood.
It's no
flood
big, map. It's no whoopee one way or the other.
Okay. Right.
Required
okay.
now.
Okay. Right, keep go. Moving, Kim.
If we go on down on page two still, paragraph B, we have required open space must be designed to, when we've stricken the words benefit the residents of the cluster development, and we've added be beneficial to the residents or users of the open space. You have referenced elsewhere in this ordinance that users from outside the development are supposed to be able to use the open space, but yet here in this paragraph, you stipulated it strictly for the residents of the development. On further in paragraph B, we've asked you to reconsider your 40% and drop that to 30% of all required open space shall be located on one continuous tract of land. That's 30% of the total open space for, we assume, the subdivision, although it's not real clear, except that open space may be separated by water bodies at a maximum of one street. Under paragraph C, we've asked you to reduce the 40% down to 20% for the physical conditions exist adjacent to proposed cluster development tract. At least 20% of all required open space must be adjacent to the following items. The first one we've left unchanged. The second one of existing farmland we've left unchanged. The third one I would ask you to strike completely, because as much as I would like to be able to advise my clients what's going to happen on the adjacent ground, I can't. And I think it's unfair and unjust to request a developer or client today to pull out a crystal ball and say, yep, next door, this is where he's going to have his open land. And then when the guy next door comes in, he's forced to have his open land at that point that I've assumed. And I don't think that's a fair, equitable way to conduct business. We would ask that we add one line in there that says, if more than one of these physical features exist on an adjacent properties, then one of these features will be identified and used to satisfy this requirement. For example, what happens if I have on both sides of my development woods? Are you telling me I must match woods on both sides? It never really stipulates it here. Let me pick one or the other, but don't make me try to split my parcel to serve five different adjoining property owners. Going on down, paragraph four, we have stricken the words and recreational ponds for the minimum permanent setback. There are times that recreational ponds need things going up to them, i.e. docks, walkways, gazebos, and we don't necessarily see a reason to have that have a 25-foot setback. We've also asked that the last sentence in that paragraph be stricken in its entirety, which reads, if existing vegetation within the setbacks are removed, it shall be replaced with vegetation of a similar type and density. A planning shall be submitted for the council review and approval. What you have basically done there is said that man and good proper design cannot be smarter than what nature is, and if nature happened to put saplings out there, that I need to keep saplings there, and that may not be the best thing for the environment. So we are saying that part of your requirements are professional engineer, land planners, and surveyors seal these drawings, so you need to allow us to do our work and do it properly and not allow Mother Nature just to say, an elm tree blew here, therefore it will always be an elm tree.
I think the thought of that, Kevin, and maybe I'm wrong, was that at least that something does go back there.
That's true, but you're requiring landscape plans be submitted as part of these submissions.
Right. Okay.
So.
Why don't they just say if the existing vegetation within the setback area is removed, that it shall be replaced, period.
Replanted.
Replaced or replanted or whatever.
I hope you all can understand my point.
There's a point. You got a point there.
Keeping an ugly sapling doesn't make it a beautiful tree 20 years later.
But it might grow into like an ugly duckling grows
Maybe.
Into a beautiful swan.
Under paragraph 5.
I was always told that when I was a little boy.
Is that what happened to you?
Not my daughter. You should have seen her when she was born.
Kind of like Robin was.
But she's gorgeous.
Kevin, keep moving. Don't try to ignore him, please. Okay.
I was just wondering who the father was, if she's gorgeous. Instead of in the last paragraph of number 5.
Come on, it was late. I'm trying to be nice.
In paragraph 5, the last sentence, which did read, to resemble natural ponds, and we've asked to strike the words instead of traditional impoundment basins. And this, Mr. Cole, I did some research. I had my people go back and do some research for you.
I bet you did.
And you can apply it to some other ordinances that you have been looking at. And I'm asking to add the words, as referenced by the Department of Natural Resources in the National Resource Conservation Services, known as the NRCS, and those are the regulations that DENREC, the national regulations.
I got DENREC. A copy in my pickup truck.
Very good, sir. If you go to Pond Code 378, you will see there is a section in that Pond Code 378 that we have to design under that's called the Visual Resource Design, and it states, the visual design of ponds shall be carefully considered in areas of high public visibility and those associated with recreation. The underlying criterion of all visual design is appropriateness. The shape and forms of the pond, excavated material, and plantings are to relate visually to their surroundings and to their function. The embankment may be shaped to blend with the natural topography. The edge of the pond may be shaped that it is generally curvilinear rather than rectangular. Excavated materials can be shaped so that the final form is smooth, flowing, and fitting to the adjacent landscape rather than an angular geometric mounds. If feasible, islands may be added for visual interest and to attract wildlife. That section right there exists in the codes that we designed to today.
It's Natural Resources Conservation Service, not national.
It's actually, my boy read the book to me, it's National Resources.
That's what they tell us is natural.
Okay, and I won't argue that, Mr.
No, Mr. No, Lang. I just asked that question.
Under paragraph 6, we have removal of health mature trees shall be limited. We've asked to strike the words to the greatest extent possible. So selective cutting performed in accordance with best. And it goes to the next page, management practices, I believe. And we're saying just removal of healthy mature trees shall be limited, period. Under paragraph 8, we've asked that you strike the words most. Where it did read, for areas mostly most worthy of preservation. Again, we get into that, who defines most? Me, you, or somebody 20 years from now. Going on down, we've stricken areas with poor drainage and natural, and we just allow just drainage areas. And going into paragraph B, we've asked that you change that from locate home sites to identify developable areas. That is, we want to do a bubble plan, and that's the way that you proceed in the logical progression. You do a constraints plan, which is what's under paragraph A. Under B, you do a bubble plan, say, okay, I can put some things here and some things here and some things here. And under that developable area, we want the words home stricken and development being placed into its place. And take avoid the and minimize the impact to the most important features mapped in the first step. Under C, again, we strike home sites and put in developable areas. And again, down below where we strike homes, we just put areas. And under D, locate lot lines. This is the last step to configure lot lines. We agree with that. And we're asking that they add the words, and make necessary adjustments to satisfy the various reviewing agencies' comments, period. I don't want somebody to think that once we submit a constraints plan and go through this process, and we're here for our preliminary plan approval, and then we have DENREC come back or some other agency come back and say, oh no, you got to move that line 5 feet, that we are caught between a rock and a hard place, that an agency has now in essence condemned our preliminary plan approval from you all. So I think we need to make some outlet there that if a reviewing agency says something has to move to meet code, then it would have to move. And those are the comments that I have for you on this. Any questions? I thank you for your time this evening.
Rich, how you doing, man? Good.
Their recommendation was only those changes, but consider some of the other ones. They didn't give them time.
Rich Collins, Positive Growth Alliance, 20873 DuPont Boulevard, Georgetown. I think that if I can keep this thing going until like a couple minutes after midnight, then you'll have a non-advertised meeting. The whole thing will be null and void, right?
Yeah. Rich, you can just stay here. Just...
If that's your desire, Richard.
We are here to aim to please.
No, I want to get home and have dinner. You know, I do. I think I understand the motivation behind this ordinance, and I think it's a noble one. There's no question we've been through a period of time when houses, in some cases, were thrown up somewhat haphazardly, and buyers bought them somewhat haphazardly. There was a kind of a panic on both sides.
Shark feed.
And now the entire nation is paying for it, maybe the entire world. However, I hope that before we make profound changes in how we operate, that we give a little time to what changes we do face. Every day I read another article by another expert predicting possibly depression, absolutely catastrophic declines in home sales. And I would remind you, as though I need to, that your employees need jobs. If there's no building activity, you're sooner or later, Sussex County employees have to get laid off. And, of course, the citizens of this county will suffer big time, and they're already suffering. Just a question of how much at this point. I would also say that because of the fact that this will only apply to brand new applications, I find it difficult to believe there will be a lot of activity on this front for a while. And I think that gives us a little extra time to make sure we're doing the right thing. Getting into the actual meat of the ordinance, I guess the biggest objection that I have.
Yes. We got a fax. We got something on email from me. Is that, or is that just telling people this is something, just a comment you made that you
think? No, there were definitely some comments okay. In there. I wasn't going to read those particular ones, but you're more than welcome to enter them into the record if you would like. Okay. What I would like to talk about, though, is discretion, because what I see in this ordinance, I think so much of this depends on someone's opinion. It's, in fact, in 3A under, right in the beginning, it says, in the reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission. Well, I mean, everybody has a different judgment of things, and I don't know, when you go through this, awful lot of it is just going to be opinion and not anything that anyone can clearly define. In fact, I would say possibly the number of ambiguities that are raised, and also the fact that one of the difficulties with any ordinance or any new requirement is that it consider economic impact. And as we go forward, I feel there will be a number of projects that might have to go under the standard form of development as opposed to cluster development, which I don't believe is the intent of the county. So, for example, 3B, item 3B on page 2, required open space must be designed to benefit the residents of the cluster development. In whose opinion? I mean, obviously in that of the Planning and Zoning Commission, that certainly is an opinion. Now, in all of this where you talk about your open space being contiguous, at least to 40% of it, I have only ever been marginally associated with one small development project several years ago, just for a few weeks. But I learned something at that time that I simply did not know as a layperson, and that is the only thing that matters on a lot of parcels is your soil, your site evaluation. You send the soil scientist out, and they tell you where you can do things, literally where you can have your roads and where you can have your houses and where you can have your septic facilities, because the soil simply won't support it in a lot of parcels all over the place. So in my view, you have a couple of big conflicts that where the ordinance conflicts with itself. In one area, you tell us that the houses, or the ordinance says, that the houses have to be clustered where they are away from the variety of features that they're supposed to be away from, like wetlands, mature woodlands, and those things. But then it says later on that the open space must be next to farmland and these other things it must be next to. Well, what if the site evaluation doesn't support that? I think it's a...
That's where the judgment of the commission comes in. When they start hearing the testimony, they make these judgment calls, and that's why we have... That's why you just don't hand it in somewhere, and it gets processed. It goes to commissions and councils, and that's where all this gets hashed out.
I guess one of the problems that I have with some of this is simply that typically that tends to come at the end of the process and at the end of the money spending. And I think it's at this stage of the game that we need to figure out some way that folks know what the rules of the game are. And to come in after you've done everything and find out at the last minute, well, we've decided the rules are not what you thought they were, it's not how Sussex County has done business in the past. If you look at the portion about the 25-foot setback, let's just say that that whole section there is somewhat in conflict with recent actions of the council.
75 feet shorter than what they wanted.
Well, and the key is, and I'm hoping the Farm Bureau might speak to this issue a little more in depth than I would, but...
You keep moving along, maybe they will.
The key is that this puts a lot of land out of play for the landowner. There's also a legal issue involved, possibly, and that is this. The county government carries out laws enacted by the state legislature. You do not, the county governments and municipal governments do not have their own constitution. You don't just make up laws out of thin air. You make them up as per instructions of the General Assembly, as per Title IX. Well, the state has never passed anything other than wetlands laws that have to do with tidal wetlands. So is it acceptable for a government that gets its authority from state law to now come in essence, make those lands that they've never ruled on illegal to touch? I think that would be an interesting question.
That will be.
The trees that are put throughout this thing, you know, it obviously supports the idea of protecting trees to the maximum extent possible. And on an emotional level, absolutely. But on a realistic level, timber harvesters can go out now and contract to purchase timber off of any piece of land and cut the trees right off, all of them. Trees grow back. So I don't know. I see the goal. But what the practical reality may be a little different. It says the last step is to configure lot lines. Well, again, based on what I learned about soil studies, maybe not the absolute lot line, but certainly early in the process, you have to determine where lot lines could possibly go. Because in a lot of places, they just can't, depending on the soil structure itself. Highly scenic views. I'm skipping around, I apologize, but on the last page it says item number 7, highly scenic views that can be seen from within the tract and highly scenic views of the tract that can be seen from outside the tract should be preserved to the greatest extent possible. Again, if that is not a total judgment call in the eye of the beholder, that's... What time of the year are we talking about? We're talking about when the leaves are on the trees or when they're off? I mean, come on. I don't know. I can't understand that one.
But it doesn't say much about that it's required. It just is as much as possible. It's a goal, Richard, and it's a goal that I think is worthy of putting in an ordinance like this, because it is nice to preserve some of those things. So,
well, I don't disagree with that.
Right.
But I will tell you that just yesterday, a court case was settled by the Supreme Court of Delaware, where another county said even though you've met the letter of the law with our zoning code, their Planning and Zoning Commission denied an application because we just don't want you to put it there. And the Supreme Court just said, you can't do that. If you meet the zoning code, you may be able to condition it, but you have to approve it. Now, in this case, I would submit that a lot of people are not going to even have any idea what you're really asking for. It's just so vague. It is a step down the path of really vague, of subjective government. It is something that this government has been terrific about avoiding to the maximum extent possible. And I'm just hoping that as we have this change in council, that just the last action is not to go down a path that a lot of other governments have gone down and caused a lot of heartache for their constituents. Now, one thing you could do, I would suggest, this is a highly complicated issue. And because, again, just waving a magic wand doesn't necessarily get what you want. For example, the federal government could say, starting tomorrow, all cars have to get 100 miles per gallon. And who knows? Maybe that's possible. But I'll bet you most people couldn't afford to buy one. So just saying you're going to do it, putting it in law, doesn't necessarily achieve the goal. Maybe what could be done would be to create some sort of a committee, because you're going to have a number of these types of issues coming up as you try to implement the land use plan, that could look at these things and kind of, over time, integrate a lot of things, like the buffer ordinance that you passed, the landscape buffer ordinance, the open space thing. Maybe there would be some way to really come up with a comprehensive way that could work for everyone.
Richard, your recommendation is that we just take our time with this, right? Not to rush into it, like just because the council's changing, we could leave the record open, and many ordinances we've worked on have taken a while. So there's no critical rush to judgment on this just because certain things are happening at the end of this month. Are you trying to say, let's take our time? Because there's been many good points made tonight by everybody. And we're going to have to take time. There's no way we can.
Biden's going to strike you.
Wait a minute. I got to check this out here.
I didn't really. No. I was being kind to you. But the rest of them made some very good points. You're rambling on. I hate to say it, but you're just kind of rambling on. But anyway.
You're losing points is where he's talking.
You're losing points. But the others made some. I think what you're saying is don't rush into this. And I agree. I think that I've heard some things here, and I think we ought to look at. So, I mean, if your concern is we're not. And I hope the rest of the council maybe shares my concerns. I don't think there's any rush to judgment on this particular ordinance, unless I'm wrong. If there's anything pretty.
On the land use plan.
We got time to do that, and it's not the last hurrah here. So anyway,
Councilman Cole,
we're just trying to get it all centered, Mr. Cole,
and we have tonight, and I think
as long as you don't let the ball
drop. I think
drive.
We heard some good points here.
I would say, Mr. Cole, that this may be the beginning of a new relationship for us.
No, Richard, no, Richard, no, Richard.
But it makes me very, very nervous. But yes, I think I am saying that, but you worry me a lot.
I'm just trying to cut you.
And back away from the podium.
He gets paid by the hour. He could stay up there for a long time.
Seeing no other rising bodies.
Anybody else cool?
Eddie? Make a motion we leave the record open and we defer action.
I don't have a problem with that, Mr. Cole. Let me
Let me
ask a couple questions. Unless you're going to not act on this next Tuesday, what steps do you go? I mean, I particularly cared for some things that Carol said. I like some things that Kevin said. Don't have Jim here to chart it out like he did last week for us.
Again, Dale, I don't know how critical it is to you all to think that we have to do it. It's
I don't know if I can trust you to do it or not, Mr. Cole. I guess that's why we'd
like
to.
No, there's not just going to be George Cole here when you're gone, Dale.
I wish it was that way. I'd love to leave it for you.
Now, wait a minute, George. Yeah, here's a perfect example of what you've been in charge of that's never got done.
No. Wait a minute.
I could go back to the record and say, let's not have a workshop today because I got to go do something else.
You've controlled the agenda. You guys have controlled the agenda for 20 years. Don't tell me it's my fault. Good.
It's not your fault. I'm just saying you've got a lot of nerve. You're part of the problem, George.
You've got a lot of nerve to blame all this.
No,
last-minute stuff on me.
I am not blaming you.
Oh, the heck you are.
I do have a couple comments.
No wonder your wife lives in Canada.
I have a couple comments, and I don't know who to direct them to. I don't know, probably Mr. Lank, because he's, you know, in on the front page, first page of the ordinance in 3A, where it says, and the reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission. That is used in here two or three times. What do you mean by that? How do you measure that?
Three votes. Right, Rick?
Pretty much so. It's a judgment call. It's an opinion.
Well, it's on every, a lot of things.
And I've been very vocal, and I'll say it again. We've had them where they are overstepping the ordinance.
We've got to have predictability.
We're getting appeals to us, and we've overturned every appeal they've sent to us so far. I'm just wondering if that wording should not be taken out of there, or may not, because I don't know how you measure reasonable. What's reasonable to me might not be reasonable to Mr. Cole or reasonable to you.
Well, it never will be. That's why people have the ability, Dale, to appeal. Not all of them are appealed.
What this ordinance tries to do...
They make judgment calls every week.
What this ordinance tries to do is take it out of an opinionated process and give it more bite. Because what's a cluster design right now? We have a cluster subdivision now. We don't have any real criteria to use to come up with it if it's a cluster.
Well, it's that's 30% open space.
To a standard subdivision.
30% open space. Standard subvision doesn't require that level of open
space. No, it
doesn't.
I'm just saying.
So that is the goal. That was the original goal.
Is that the only intent you need to do is create 30% open space?
It was a big deal.
Open
space was something
people... I think the ordinance on the cluster also talked about superior design.
The land use plan said we're supposed to come in with a...
Open space, they've got to have, what, 30-35%?
It varies, depending on
okay,
project.
But they're saying that 40% of that 30% has to be contiguous.
Right.
Well, this suggests 40.
40% of the total opens, of the total
must be adjacent to, and it gives you three criteria.
Instead of having little pockets of it, they think most of it should be together. That's all. It makes sense there.
Right. I think we all agree that this some of them are.
You're getting down to the minutiae.
Between houses, that's not open space.
No. But anyway, like I said, it'll take time, and if you want to try to get it all together for next week, it seems rushing it. It's going to take a while. We're going to have new people coming on. You
but
won't have time to give it justice. If you think you do, I think we're rushing it.
No, I don't. I would like to, if we could give the information like Jim did with the email.
A great idea. That's right. It was very effective.
And have it next week so we can even discuss it and maybe make some notes and so we can pass it on. I mean.
Well, all we can do is ask Dave to ask Jim if he's got the time to be able to prepare
for next
week.
Are you familiar with what Mr. Griffin did last week?
Jim may not be able to.
Familiar, Dave.
You.
Not the least.
What Jim did last week was take and the comments from each individual and to try to figure out if it was a can-do without amending the ordinance as a major change.
And I'm sure he'll enjoy doing that before next Tuesday for you.
You're all hard.
Speaking on his behalf.
Yeah. I thought it was it's very helpful to coordinate to us and legally, and then, you know, you know, if you're going to look at comments, I'm not saying that we're, George, I don't think we should rush it. I think if
there's advantage to me that I'm going to have any kind of, you know, influence over this thing. The process will work itself out like it always has here.
Absolutely.
Where we have people that are pro and con and it'll work its way out. There's no sense rushing into an ordinance this important. It is, I think, it's a big step for us, and I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it's good. I think the open space, this, and a couple others are in the right direction, and we adopted a land use plan saying we would do this. So we have to do it sometime, so let's take our time. There's no sense rushing into it. So, but it's up to you. If you want to put it back on next week, we'll try to jam it in, but I don't think it'd be appropriate. I just say...
I'm just asking
Jim to get it.
You want Jim to do that and give it to us? And I mean, it would certainly pass on to the next council if nothing happened next week. I mean,
yeah, let's put it on for next week. Ask Jim if... If he gets to it, that's great. If he doesn't, then
we scratch it.
We encourage it.
And Sam takes care of it. Right, Sam?
Sam has been awake through these whole proceedings. I've watched his eyelids. They've never closed once. Right, Sam?
It's hard to sleep with you in here, George.
Thank you. That's why. Well, you're not supposed to be sleeping, Sam. I'm trying to look at you. I was trying to speak up.
Okay.
You.
So we are. Do you still want to leave the record open? I guess we can leave the record open for now.
We have to leave the record
open. I mean, because if we close...
You just ask Jim if he can prepare
prepare
it.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Okay. That's cool.
Yep.
Okay, I need a motion, gentlemen, to leave the record open on the cluster or superior design, and ask Mr. Griffith is going to try to get some paperwork ready for us.
I'll make that motion. We defer and leave the record open, and for further comments and we'll close the record first.
Or closing the public hearing, leaving the record open. Is that what you want?
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I want to say. Thank you.
And
public hearing, but leave the record open.
We'll leave the record open, and we'll await Mr. Griffin's talking points, or whatever you want to call bullets on addressing these comments that we heard tonight.
Rick, you'd be more glad to drop paperwork off to him, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna. He owes me one.
But he was not here, so he's going to be at a disadvantage because he wasn't here.
Right. I agree. Well, I think he sits down with you anyway, though. It works pretty much.
Sit down with David.
Right. Mr. Cole? That yes?
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
My vote's yes.
Doesn't matter. Lynn Rogers seconded.
Yeah.
Make a motion.
Any other business? Motion for adjournment?
No move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Amen.
More to go, boys.